persistent, patient, and focused. This describes the prayer that gets an answer from God. It also describes Mary Magdalene, not the saint, but the dog who lives with us at our priory. Persistent, patient, and focused. One of our friars, Father Scordo, some of you may have met him, a little bit crusty on the outside, but Maggie knows that he's got a soft heart on the inside. So when all the friars are sitting around the table for our dinner, Maggie, of all the friars, will sit next to Father Scordo, just patiently focusing on him, looking at every forkful of food that goes from the plate to his mouth. And sometimes Father Scordo will say, "No, Maggie, no, Maggie, this isn't for you." But that translates from human language into Maggie language this way: 10, 9, 8, 7. And that's a good translation most of the time. I love dogs, and it's wonderful to have a dog in our community. And they are very persistent. Maggie will stand there at the feet of someone who's eating for the whole meal, not barking, not whining, just very quiet, but just staying there. She's also patient. She'll do this again and again without ever seeming to get annoyed. But she's also very focused. It's amazing to see the focus of a dog who's in what I call food mode. It's very different from friendly mode. When they're in food mode, they're very serious about food. And I think we can learn, even from a wonderful creature, one of God's animals, how we can be a little bit more persistent, patient, and focused in our prayer. Abraham is certainly all of those things in our first reading. Abraham is persistent. He gets God to count down little by little, to promise that if there are even 10 innocent people in the city of Sodom, that God would spare the entire city. If we read on in the book of Genesis, it turns out that God unfortunately cannot find 10 innocent people, but a small family group, namely Abraham and his family, who are innocent, he does bring out of the city before it is destroyed. And when Abraham pleads that he cannot flee to the mountains, but only to a little town called Zoar, God spares that little city, because that is as far as Abraham can go. But Abraham is persistent. He's also patient and humble, and he's also focused. The way he approaches God is with great respect. He acknowledges that he does not have any claim on God. God does not owe him anything. But he respectfully asks God again and again to answer his prayer. The man who comes to his neighbor's house at midnight is also persistent. Jesus declares that even if the man who is already in bed with his family does not get up because of their friendship, he will get up because of the persistence of his neighbor. But there is a difference between the way that Maggie the dog is patient, focused, and persistent, and the way that Abraham and the neighbor in the parable are persistent. And that is that Maggie, God bless her, is looking out for number one. She's the one who's hungry. But Abraham and the man in the parable are asking on behalf of someone else. Abraham is praying on behalf of any innocent people who might be wiped away in the destruction of the city of Sodom. The neighbor who comes to ask for 3 loaves of bread is not asking them for himself. He's asking them so that he might provide hospitality for a friend of his who has come in from a journey. And that is something that we can learn from the Lord's Prayer. I found a wonderful quote from St. John Chrysostom about the phrase, "Thy kingdom come." He says this, "Consider how Jesus Christ teaches us to be humble by making us see that our virtue does not depend on our work alone, but on grace from on high. He commands each of the faithful who prays to do so universally for the whole world. For he did not say, 'Thy will be done in me,' or even in us, but on earth, the whole earth, so that error may be banished from it, truth take root in it, all vice be destroyed on it, virtue flourish on it, and earth no longer differ from heaven." We pray that God's reign may come, not just upon us. We pray that he may give us our daily bread, not just my daily bread. We pray that he would send his Spirit, loving Father that he is, to his children, not just to me, but to all of his children. In the liturgy, whenever we celebrate the Eucharist, there's a part at the very beginning of the Eucharistic prayer called the epiclesis, when the priest holds his hands over the elements, over the bread and wine to be consecrated, and calls down, from which we get the Greek word epiclesis, epikaleo, to call upon, calls the Holy Spirit upon the bread and the wine, so that they may become holy. So that they that have a very limited benefit as ordinary bread and wine may have an extraordinary benefit to us as the living body and blood of Jesus Christ. That epiclesis, I think, is a beautiful image of what all of us do when we pray the Our Father, when we say, "Your kingdom come on earth." We are calling down the Holy Spirit. For remember, at the end of our gospel reading, Jesus says, "If you, imperfect as you are, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" When we pray the Our Father, we can ask that the Lord would send the Holy Spirit upon us, not just me, not just my family, but on the whole world, that he would take this world in its brokenness and its limitation and bring about his kingdom, bring about his reign, bring about his life. As St. John Chrysostom said, that little by little, like raindrops falling from the sky, very small individually, but very powerful collectively, that little by little, as we pray, error may be banished from his world. Truth may take root in his world. Vice be uprooted from his world. Virtue flourish in his world, so that in the end, earth will no longer differ from heaven. That's a very tall order, but that is what God has asked us to do. And so when we pray, let us ask the Lord that we might be persistent in calling down his Holy Spirit upon us, that we might be patient and humble in doing so, and that we might be focused, that we might never take our eyes away from our loving Father, who has promised that if we ask, we will receive. Perhaps, and I don't know this for sure, but perhaps God is teaching us to pray this way because that is how he looks at us. He looks at us persistently. He never gives up on us. He always wants his children to come home to him. He looks at us with patience, even we might say with humility. Through all the ages, he waits for us to ask for his help, to open ourselves to his life and his love and his Holy Spirit. He even humbled himself to send his only begotten Son to take flesh and die so that we might share in his eternal life. And he is very focused. He always looks upon us. He never takes his eyes away from us. And so if we pray in a way that is persistent, patient, and focused, not only are we unleashing the great blessings of God, the life of God through the Holy Spirit upon the earth, but we are also becoming more like God. We are becoming more like the one who loves us, who always looks upon us, who never abandons us and always longs for his children to come home to him.